and children's ministry experience before we get into this really important subject of volunteers teams and how we raise and recruit and release teams in youth ministry. So do you know what? Actually, before I do anything, I'm going to pray. That's important, isn't it? I'm going to pray over you, and then we'll introduce ourselves properly. So let's take a moment to set ourselves for Jesus. Let's pray together. Yeah, Father, I want to thank you for every individual in this place. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the ministries that are represented, the young people, the children, the churches that are represented in this space. And I pray, Lord God, through what Julie and I will share this morning, that something will just really speak into hearts and lives. You'll do something in ministries that will make a difference as a result of what we shared this morning. So bless our time together, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Cool. Yeah, so a bit of background for me, just to give you a bit of a context to what I've been involved in. So I was thinking this through the other day, actually. I've been involved in, I started off as in children's ministry as a 16-year-old, which I worked out the other day. Is 16 years, is that right? If I'm 34, is that right? 18 years. Wowza. So I've been involved in youth or children's ministry for 18 years in some description. I started off as a 16-year-old in my church in Birmingham, and then went to Bible College at 18, trained and did the youth track at Regent's. I then went as a 21-year-old, went down to Newquay in Cornwall. Come on, with Liz. I was only going for a gap year originally. Ended up staying for almost 7 years. I was the youth and children's pastor in the Elim Church down in Newquay there. And then, yeah, been involved now in kind of the pioneer stuff, or Limitless and pioneer stuff for about 5.5, 6 years almost. And that's mostly been releasing teams, recruiting teams, raising teams, all volunteer-led on the ground with churches. So that's been a lot of my last 5 years particularly. So that's a bit of my background. Julie.
Yeah, I'm Julie. Lovely to see you. You'll know by my accent. I'm with the crew from Ireland this week. A wee small cheer. Oh my goodness. I'm with the crew from Ireland this week. Same as Jamie, there must be something in 16. I became a leader in my local youth ministry at the age of 16. It was a large local youth ministry. Some of these guys, we all grew up together. It was a youth ministry. There was over 100 young people every week, followers of Jesus, real, pursuing God, and became a youth leader at 16 there. I stayed there till I was 21. At the age of 21, Elim were planting a church in a different part of Ireland, and so I joined the church planting team, and as part of that, my husband and I overseen the planting of the youth ministry, the pioneering of the youth ministry in that place. And so we started that and we did that. And then we moved back to Belfast. We moved back to a bit of a dying church that basically a team was going in to revitalize, bring life to, and give this a stab. So again, my husband and I went there and we started the youth ministry again in that church and pioneered that. And it is still going. We are still at that church. I'm still involved in the youth there. I help lead the kids ministry in the church. Also, we run lots of outreach kids stuff into the community. So we run on Sunday afternoons, and we get about 50 kids from the community come to that. And it's a lot of rowdy kids, outreach stuff. And so I'm involved in leading that as well. Alongside that, I've been on the Limitless Ireland team for the past 8 years and help run Relentless, which is like our Limitless Festival, and One There and Oxygen and all of that. And I'm also involved in Pioneers now as well. So involved in Antrim and OMA and stuff that you will have heard about through this Antrim, Atrium, as Leanne calls it. But involved in pioneering there as well. So yeah, a bit of my background and where I'm coming from in all that I am saying today as well. And so Jamie and I are going to lead this session together, and we're looking at how to recruit, raise and release a volunteer team. Really praying that you guys can just grab something of what we say for every section. We only have 5 minutes each to share, so it's by no means going to be exhaustive, or we feel like we can give everything we want to say. So just praying really that the Holy Spirit can help us as we speak, and you guys just to receive something from this that you can go away and explore what that might look like for you. So yeah, so one of the things that I'm sure you guys will agree that has came, especially off the back of the pandemic, but also something that's always there, like we ran a Pioneer Summit on Zoom, and what kept coming out of leaders was that things couldn't restart yet, or they're there, but the youth leader can't do it anymore, or the youth leader's there, but the volunteer team have fallen off the face of the earth. We spoke with lots of youth leaders and kids leaders who were saying, I just don't have a team. I can't get people to come and be involved. And that's why I think this topic is really important. It is really timely as well. And so firstly, today, how do you go about recruiting a volunteer team for your ministry? How do you begin that process? In a few minutes, Jamie will give us some really practical ways that you guys can take home, some real tools of how you can do that. But first, I want to ask the question this morning, why? Why would someone want to sign up to be on your volunteer team? And what I want us to catch in this first thing this morning is that people are often compelled by passion and vision. People are compelled by passion and vision, and that is what we need to get across to them, to the people in our churches. And what makes our job easier in this is that we are not just selling our passion about something, but we are selling God's passion. God is passionate about the next generation, about the generations coming through. God's heart from the Word of God shows us that He is a generational God. He is a generational God who uses ordinary people like you and I to accomplish His plans for generations. His heart and His plan is that generation after generation may know His works and praise Him. Psalm 78, verse 5 to 7, it'll be on the screen, says, He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, so that a future generation, children yet to be born, might know. They were to rise and tell their children, so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep His commands. God's heart is for generations, and His means to ensure generation after generation know His works and praise Him is people. We are all children and youth leaders and workers in here, and how amazing is it that we get to be those people used by God in this way? And I would love it in that session, this session, if we catch that on the last day. I know you know it, but this space is really good for us to be able to chat and share struggles and everything, but I would also love to leave with a sense of what a privilege that we get to be used by God in this way. So we as leaders want to give people a biblical mandate for this, and we want to sell to them, actually, that being a part of reaching the next generations with the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most exciting thing that they could give their time and their lives to. We are not asking people to sign up to babysit kids or teenagers, which can sometimes be people's perception, I think, of what children or youth ministry is. It won't encourage them to sign up if that's what they think. It will actually do the opposite. Who wants to babysit other people's kids for free for hours every week, right? But could some people in your local church setting get excited about the idea of reaching the next generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, excited about playing their part in raising a generation of kids and young people who are disciples of Jesus, who love Him with all that they are, excited about the potential that lies in a room of people with childlike faith who genuinely believe that the God they serve could do anything with their lives, excited about being a part of something that sets kids and young people up to live for Jesus all the days of their lives. Could some people in your local church setting get excited about that? I'm going to suggest that they can. And could your passion and vision for this compel them to be a part of your volunteer team? If we don't continue to reach the generations coming through, where will the church be? Where will your church be? Where will my church be in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years' time. People are often compelled by passion and vision. And could your passion and vision compel them to be a part of your volunteer team?
Thanks, Julie. I think it's crazy because it's so important that we want people to struggle to say no to things, don't we? We want to have it almost so compelling that they struggle to say no. So that's really useful. And I think it's really good to think about how we can cast vision and passion for our ministries. I'm now just going to follow up with some really practical ways that you can actually go about trying to recruit volunteers, trying to get word out there once the vision has been cast, once people know what they're signing up for. So first one is, and it's always the thing, isn't it? We often, I've been in churches and ministries for long enough where people are like, oh, well, I'm not going to volunteers. I'm really struggling in this area. And you ask them a question, how much time have you spent the last 6 months strategically thinking about volunteer recruitment? It's like, well, an hour or so. Well, there's a reason there. There's a reason that you're struggling. There's a reason that you're maybe not pushing on. So one thing that you can do, I think, is just make a list. And I got prayerfully, but make a list. One thing that I've done in the past is find your church's directory or your whatever you may have, a way of going through the church and just go through the names on that list. Have a look at them. Pray over them. Just think, and God may just prompt you, oh, that person actually could be really good. They may just drop something in your spirit about that person and where they're at. Now, it's hard, isn't it, in the busyness of our ministries to do that, but I really think this is a really important thing to take some time out. If we're struggling with team, let's get really practical. Let's look at this. Let's make prayerful decisions about that. And actually, there's something that if you like reading, there's a book that I would really recommend. It's called The Sustainable Youth Ministry by Mark DeVries. Now, this can go across, I think, youth and kids stuff. But he says in there about, now, make sure this is private. This should never go any further than you and your desk, okay? But grade the people on that list, okay? So pray through it, have a look at it, and then basically grade them 1, 2, and 3, so or A, B, and C. Now, your A's are the people who are going to be absolute game changers. Like, if they come into your ministry and they get involved in your youth or kids ministry, they're going to, like, just set the world on fire. There'll be revival breaking out left, right, and center. They're the kind of the people who are going to be amazing. And then your B's. Go to your B's. The B's will be really good. They'll be really solid. They'll be quality. You'd love to see them a part of your team. Not as good as the A's, but, you know, still good. Still good. We like them. And your C's. They're people who will have a DBS check. They will set up faithfully and be a part of your team. Still be really good people on your team, people we need, but they can be a part of your team. Now, and then begin to approach these people, okay? Begin to maybe start with your A's. We always want our A people first, don't we? Again, this is between you and God, so nobody needs to see it. But offer to take them out for a coffee, to try and meet up with them. Again, sell your youth ministry. Sell the vision of your youth ministry, your kids ministry, to them, and then just empower them to see if they would be involved in that. Give them some chance to think it over. Don't ask for a kind of answer there and then, but maybe say, you know, have a week or two just to pray for it through, think it through, and then go back to them. But just a real practical way you can do it: get your list of people in your church, pray over it, and if you know the grazing system may be a bit too harsh for you, that's okay. But just think about how you can practically look at people in your church and see how they can be involved. That's the first thing we're practicing. Secondly, this is often a common thing we can do, but don't say people's no's for them. You'll look through that list and think, oh, that person's really busy with work. They're not going to do it. That person's got a young family. That's not going to happen. That person's involved in ABCD ministry. I just don't think it's going to happen. It's really easy to do that, isn't it? And to say people's no's for them. But I've learned not to say people's no's for them, because sometimes you just never know where people are at in their sales. They may actually be thinking, or their job may have taken a bit of a turn. They may have a little bit more time, whatever it may be. Circumstances may be changing beyond what you know. Don't go on what you think you know about them. Actually speak to them. Actually kind of go to them. And actually, sometimes your preconceived ideas may be correct, and that's okay. But if nothing else, you might just have dropped something in their spirit about being involved in the youth or children's ministry, and it may be something that you kind of see happening, you know, a year's time, 6 months' time, 3 years' time. It doesn't really matter, but it might just be something they begin to think about. They can't get involved there and there, but think about, if nothing else. Okay, that's the second one. Third one, really practically. Okay, we all like a get-out clause, don't we? But put get-out clauses or reviews in there. Now, when we approach people, to join any ministry, youth or children's team, the hope and dream is that they get involved and they serve for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, however long it's going to be, and they're an integral part of your team. That's the dream, isn't it? That's what we all would hope for. However, the reality is, that's not going to be the case for everybody, is it? And actually, if you say to them, okay, come along and be involved in our ministry for a certain amount of time. Let's say it's a month. Let's say it's 3 months. Let's say it's 6 months. Okay, whatever it may be. Come and get involved. And at that stage, we'll review. We'll review to see if this is working for you and if it's working for us as well. Because actually, sometimes we may need to get out of clause if it's something that isn't quite working out. It just means then that they're not signed up for life. It gives them a chance to kind of really see if this is something they want to commit to. And then, obviously, then they can really see that, you know, selling Passion Vision is really good, but there's nothing better than being on the front line, is actually seeing what's going on. So putting something there that means that they, even it might just help those who are a little bit unsure, and I don't quite know, just have a moment, opportunity to explore and see what's going on without having to sign their life away, so to speak. Okay, so that's the third one. Number four, this might sound really obvious, but speak to your current volunteer team, speak to the people that are on your team already, and just say, is anybody who you've identified, any of your friends, any of the people in the church, any people that you know, who you think might be interested to get involved in that? Pardon me. It's just a really practical way you can do that. And actually, probably even better, if they say somebody, as I say a name, get them to go and speak to that person. Get them to kind of commission them to go and have that conversation and then link them up with you as the kind of point leader. But another really practical way you can get your team actively involved in volunteer recruitment. Next one is number five, young leaders. Now, I'm going to touch on this properly in a moment or so. But I just love investing into young leaders. I think it's such an important thing we should be doing. Have a look at the young people in your church. Who out of those, maybe those 16, like I said, we were both 16, those 16, 17, 18-year-olds, who of those could be involved in your youth ministry? For children's workers in the room, speak to your youth worker. Is there any of those who could get involved in your youth, in your children's ministry, sorry? But start them young, man. Like, I think it's such an important thing. I really believe the reason I'm doing what I'm doing today is because at 16, I was given an opportunity to get involved in something. So let's see if there's all young leaders in the church who can get involved in that. And then finally, before we get into discussion, update the wider church. Like, ask your senior leader to have a moment where you can share about the ministry. Now, it hasn't got to be a plug there and then for the volunteer, but just to share about what God's been doing through the children's ministry, through the youth ministry, to just practically give some praise and some celebration, some stories, some testimonies as to what's been going on. Again, you never know where that might lead. That might just be somebody who comes along and is like, man, that sounds fantastic what you're doing. I'd love to get involved in that in some way, shape, or form. But sometimes, like, you can go a whole year without, you know, you just go out faithfully to your session every Sunday. You turn up every Friday night, whatever it is, you do your kids or youth stuff. And the riders just don't have a clue what's going on. They know it's happening. They know their kids are looked after. They don't actually know what's going on. So take a moment, whether it be your AGM. I know in our church, Debs did it at AGM, where she shared heart, the youth pastor shared heart about what's going on. Or in a, whatever it may be, on a Sunday morning, but somewhere you can share heart about what's going on. Okay. So, what we're going to do is we're going to have three kind of sections and have three discussion sections. So, do you mind taking this? I'm losing my voice, Julie.
Yeah, no problem at all. We're going to go into our first discussion section where we would love you with the people around you, even just in three or fours, so that everyone gets a chance to speak in that as well. And we have sort of a question each from what we have shared from. So the first question that we're going to look at is, how could you sell your passion and vision for your ministry to your local church in order to recruit new volunteers for your team? So that might be asking for an opportunity to speak to the church, to actually have a Sunday where you can sort of share, and whatever that might be, gathering some specific people that are on your list or whatever that might be. What are some things that you could do in order to get the opportunity to share? And then the second question is, what is one practical thing that you are going to do when you get home to try and recruit some new volunteers for your ministry team? You'll have about probably 3 minutes with this if you want to gather with those around you and, discuss those two things.
And we'll keep them on the screen. So the questions are on the screen. So, yeah, you've got a few minutes. Find some groups of three or four people around you. Great.
Okay. Everyone had a chance to, yeah, hopefully everyone's had a chance to speak into their groups and discuss and share ideas and maybe what God is saying to you as well. We're going to move on to the next section, and at the end of this section, there's going to be another opportunity to get into your groups and discuss this as well. And so the next part of what we're sharing today, we've talked about recruiting a volunteer team, is raising volunteers that carry your heart. How do we raise up leaders from within our ministries that carry our heart? And so in this little section, there's just two things that I want to suggest to you that I believe are vital if we want to raise leaders in our ministries. And the first thing is example. Example, how we live. So much of raising leaders comes from our example as leaders. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. What is example? Paul says that to be an example, it involves what you say. It involves the way you live. It involves your love. It involves your faith, and it involves your purity. If we want to raise leaders from within our ministries that carry our heart, then we must first live it and example our heart. This means that raising others starts with us, how we follow Jesus, what our young leaders see us doing, what they see us saying, what they see us giving our time to, what they see us actually posting on social media, sharing on our social media. All of it should reflect and example our heart. That's the way it works as leaders. There's nothing that's hidden, actually, or closed off to this. All of what we do should reflect and example our heart. And in that way, as Paul said, as we know, imitate me as I imitate Christ, that the same could happen within our ministries, that we would be the example first. An example that young leaders would see and follow, that it would be clear to them what our heart is. It would be really clear to them what we're passionate about, what we care about, and easy for them to see our example and follow suit. Number one, example. Then the second thing that I think is vital to this is discipleship. So much of this comes from discipleship, from intentionally and effectively discipling people, sharing our lives with people and with young leadership. Discipleship should be intentional. I don't know if you have found this as well, but you can often tell, how, I think, who someone has been discipled by their values, how they follow Jesus, and what they care about. An example of this is in the youth ministry I grew up in, and some of these guys, we were intentionally discipled to care about God's heart for the nations of the world. That was one thing that we were intentionally discipled in. And when other youth leaders would come to camp and meet a young person from our ministry, and they would start talking about the nations and God's glory and the nations, they would go, ah, you're from 412. They knew where we were from because they knew something. That was something that our youth leader was passionate about, and that we had then intentionally been discipled to care about also. And by using that one example, I don't mean that we pick one thing from Scripture either that you care about and just drum it into people. But if we want to raise leaders from within, we should be intentional about discipling them in the whole counsel of God. What does Jesus say about making disciples? In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus says, Jesus came and told his disciples to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he says, what are they meant to do with these disciples? He says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. This was Jesus's method, the whole counsel of God. Teach new disciples to live out all the commands that Jesus has given. And that, if we do that, that is so vital in how we raise leaders from within. And these two things together, example and discipleship, are vital in raising leaders. So if you are someone, and I'll use the example of worship, if you're someone who comes to church and you're passionate every time about worshiping God, no matter what, you are there, you are singing, you're proclaiming truths about God, you're raising your arms, kneeling, whatever it may be, then the kids and young people around you are going to see your example. And then when you are with them, having those discipleship conversations and you're intentional and ask them what they think of worship, share your passion of it and show them worship from Scripture. Then once you do that with the kids and young people who God has entrusted you with, then you will begin to raise some leaders from within that are carrying your heart. These two things together, example and intentional and effective discipleship, are so important in raising leaders.
Great, thanks, Julie. I mentioned previously, but this is kind of following on from what Julie said about when we're developing young leaders. I really believe in developing young leaders. I really believe in that as a thing and doing that. I really believe that in any leadership team that we have, in any of our volunteer teams we have, they should be diverse. They should be diverse in age, they should be diverse in gender, in ethnicity, and a whole array of different things. But actually, investing into and raising young leaders could just begin to help the volunteer problem that you have. Could just be, even it might not be straight away, it might be something that you see kind of the fruit of in a few years, but it could be something that is going to help you going forward. I, as part of my my journey, like I said previously, I was brought up in a Christian home. I made a personal decision myself to follow Jesus when I was 14 years of age. Kind of did the teenage thing for a couple of years and did my own thing, tried to figure out what it meant. And really, when I got to about 16 years of age, I really then kind of decided I really want to make a stand. I really want to start like living this thing out properly. And my youth leader at the time in the church I grew up in Birmingham, he said, we had a Thursday night kids club at the church, kind of an outreach group, which is actually still going to this day, which is fantastic. It's amazing. Yeah, so he said, come and get involved in that. How do you feel about getting involved? And I had a bit of kind of time where I was free, kind of after sixth form. So I was like, yeah, why not? Let's give it a go. I got involved. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy kind of, to be honest, we got to play football for an hour, which is just like quality for me. But I love just kind of investing into those children, talking to them about Jesus. And again, my journey into developing as a leader was really important there. And then about 17, when I was about 17 years of age, I then started taking on other responsibilities. So myself and another guy in our church at the time, we basically saw a bit of a need that there was nothing going on for young people with prayer. So we just pioneered a prayer ministry on a Thursday night. So straight after the kids' club, we'd gather together for like an hour or so and just pray together. And there was only four or five of us, but that was like powerful. I remember getting baptized in the Holy Spirit in one of those meetings where we just prayed together. And it was just like, just through taking a bit of initiative and doing something, we began to see things happen. And I began, when I was 17, 18, I ran the Christian Union at my school. I began to get involved in the youth group in my local church. And just from there, from the opportunities I was given and the things that people kind of saw in me and called out of me, I suppose the rest is history, as they say. But I said previously, but I know that if my youth leader at the time hadn't at 16 said to me, Jamie, what about this? I don't know if I'd be doing this today, but I certainly know that was a big part of my journey. So I really love that challenge of investing into younger leaders. But what are some of the things that I think that we should be looking out for? And I've worked with a number of young leaders over the years, and some of the things I think are really important when we're trying to call out something. So the first one is, I think it's really important, is that character is key. Character is key in this. Now, the most important thing that, this is for me, and again, you may have different ideas, but the most important thing I think is important with a young leader is that they will come and get involved and serve in your youth ministry. And that doesn't mean they're going to get on stage and start doing all the things that we do. It means they're going to be there sweeping up at the end of the night, picking up the litter, unblocking the toilet that kid's left that thing in there. Do you know what I mean? All the things that none of us enjoy doing, but just getting involved. Because, like, it's just, before you're anything, you're a servant, aren't you? And that's such an important thing. So, like, they're just getting, show initiative. Initiative's a really big thing as well, actually. They'll just show initiative and help without having been asked to. But having that character is really, really important. So that's the first thing. The next one is, I think, giving them appropriate opportunities. Now, When we invest in young leaders, it will take time. It's not going to be an overnight thing. It's not going to be a microwave a young leader. It's going to take time. But what I think is really important is that we give them intentional opportunities that are going to help them in their journey. And actually, it's giving them small opportunities that are going to help them grow and grow organically. If we delegate tasks, we get followers. If we delegate responsibilities, we begin to create leaders. I think that's just such an important thing. We can begin to give them responsibilities as we go. Make sure you entrust them that responsibilities that are going to stretch them, but not break them. I've seen it before where it's been too much too soon and it's broken people. The Bible in Luke 16, you'll know the verse, I'm sure. But Luke 16, verse 10 says, Jesus says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. Giving them opportunities where they can thrive and grow is really, really important. And Julie picked up on this, but I'm going to say it again. In those moments, we should be prioritizing discipleship with those young people and not doing this to get more leaders on our team. And that's hopefully going to be a helpful thing. But we're doing it to invest in those individuals, to invest in their journey, to invest in them as men and women or young men and women of Jesus. So when we're in those moments, taking time to prioritize, praying together, asking them how they're getting on in their life, when you're setting up, when you're sweeping the floor at the end of the night, just having those life-on-life conversations is another important part of what we can do. Okay, so we're now, again, going to break into discussion groups. So two questions we've got in this kind of raise section. The first one is, what is something that you carry that you would like to be intentional about in example and discipleship? That's something for you that on the back of what Julie shared about. And again, another practical one. Number two is, are there any young leaders who you identify and see that character of, and gifting of leadership? What steps can you take to helping them on that journey? So we're going to give you 3, 4, 5 minutes or so back in your groups to those questions before we go to the last bit. Go. Okay. So what we're going to try and do at the end, after I've got one more bit, Julie's got one more bit, we're going to try and give like a few minutes just to ask some questions from you guys to us. If you've got anything, we're no experts, we may just be able to help you. If you've got anything that's come off the back of what we talked about, you can kind of, I suppose, from the floor down to us. We've got one more bit and then we'll get into that. So this next bit is about how we release volunteer leaders. How do we practically release them? And I suppose the hope is that there'll be organic growth within our teams. Now, this, I'm sure, won't be a new thing. I also believe it's been in a different seminar, but it's something I think is really useful that I've used before when thinking about how we release our leaders. So this is the step of how we release people into leadership. Well, this is 5 steps of leadership development, as it's called on there. So again, you hope you see on the screen. But the first one is, once you're working with a leader, these are the ways I try and do I try and help leadership, so particularly in the work I'm doing with Limitless Pioneers, is how I would try and work in terms of releasing a team. First one is, it says on there, I do, you watch, we talk. So that is where you as the, I'll call you the expert, because you're all experts here, aren't you, of course. But you as the more seasoned youth leader or children's leader, you basically ask the apprentice or young leader to watch what you're doing. Just watch about what I'm doing, watch how I lead this game, watch how I do this talk, like watch how I have this one-to-one, whatever it may be. And then afterwards, you talk with that leader about it, and they just begin to maybe ask some questions about, oh, why do you do that? Or, well, you know, what, was this an intentional thing? But you talk about it afterwards together. Hey, that's first process. Second process, part of the process is, I do, you help, we talk. So again, really simple, but this stage, that young leader, apprentice leader, you bring alongside them and get them to do something to help you. And so if it's, for argument's sake, you're doing a talk, they maybe read the verse out at the start, or you're doing a whole load of games night, you get them to lead one of the games and you're there beside them. But that whole process is that you're there with them, beside them, they're helping you, as they're your assistant, so to speak. And then you talk afterwards about it. Step number two. Step number three, this time, they do. So they take the, you do, I help, we talk. They take the lead on it. They take the initiative. They do the planning. They whatever that may be. But you're there right beside them, helping them. I suppose just like doing whatever's needed. not jumping in straight away, because sometimes you need to like let them sweat a little bit, but helping where's needed, and not letting it turn into a place where it could become a car crash and it goes wrong. And then again, you talk about it afterwards, a really important thing, you review afterwards. Step number four, this time, they do, you do, I watch, we talk. So you are now out of the equation, okay? You leave them, you've got confidence that you're happy with them, and you're watching, you're just observing, you're letting them lead that talk, lead that game, whatever it may be, lead that session, and you're just watching, and at the end of it, you talk, you review. How did that go? How would you do that differently? Again, just a real, hopefully a really helpful process for them. But having that time where you sit and talk after is really important. And finally, step number five, is you do, someone else watches. So now it's come full circle where that apprentice, young leader, whatever you want to call them, is now getting somebody else to come alongside them and somebody to watch what they're doing. And hopefully that produces leaders, that produces leaders, that produces leaders, and so on and so forth. Now, this isn't a revolutionary thing whatsoever I've used, but I think it's just really practical to help releasing leaders and thinking about steps. Now, these steps may take place over a number of weeks, months, or years. It doesn't really matter how long it takes. But as long as you're intentional about those steps and talking the whole way through the process, I think it's really, really important. Julie?
Yeah. What I want to suggest about releasing leaders is we won't raise people as leaders, our last point, if we don't release them as leaders. We won't raise people as leaders if we don't release them as leaders. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. Other versions, equip the saints for the work of ministry. One of our roles as leaders is to equip God's people to do his work. Giving people opportunities is so important. However, as leaders, this can often be the area where we are most hesitant on. We often think, have they been saved long enough? Are they spiritually mature enough? What if they say the wrong thing? Are they really ready? We question and are hesitant. But I just want to have a really quick look at how Jesus released people before they were ready. I would encourage you to go away and do a bit of a wee Bible study on this if you want, because we're only going to look at one verse because we don't have time. But I love reading through the Gospels and watching the disciples' journey with Jesus. And actually, from a reading standpoint, you're often looking at the disciples and how they lack faith, and you're going, why are you doing that? Another mistake. Like, what is going on? But then what Jesus does is he releases them as leaders and into the work of ministry. And for us, it looks like they're not ready. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and he gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Then in verse 5, Jesus sends the apostles out with instructions for the trip. He sends them on a short trip without him, to go and announce that the kingdom of heaven is near, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cure leprosy, and to cast out demons. Jesus's adult ministry up to his crucifixion was only approximately 3 to 4 years in total. And so this wasn't Jesus, you know, journeying with these disciples for, you know, from all of high school and then when they're 18, like, now is your time to shine. This was a short period of time. And the disciples up to this point had shared life with Jesus. They had watched him perform miracles, watched him cast out spirits, listened to how he proclaimed the kingdom of God, and now they were being sent to go and do it themselves. If you read the gospel accounts up to this point and think about how we often release people today, I don't think we would be sending the disciples out when Jesus did. We would think that they aren't ready for that kind of responsibility yet. I mean, passing out the bread at the feeding of the 5,000, yeah, absolutely. That seems like a good job for them. Go and do that yourselves and, you know, I'll make sure it's done right. But no, Jesus releases them as leaders. Jesus equipped his disciples for ministry and released them into opportunity. And so in our ministries, how do we create safe spaces to give people a go? How many people in this room can say that when you weren't ready, someone just gave you a go? when we do, sometimes we'll actually be surprised at how well it goes. And other times people might fail. And that is okay too. We need to create safe spaces where there is room for people to feel well. Where if it happens, it's actually then a great opportunity for discipleship, for encouragement, and for letting them go again and letting them know this is all part of it. I have yet to hear anyone preach for the first time and they are amazing and you're like, wow, like you're so good. There's no room for improvement. We have to create those safe environments where people can have a go at these things, and if they feel, it's okay, but we also might be surprised at how well it goes. We will not raise young people as leaders if we don't release them as leaders. And so are we doing that? Yeah, you guys are getting a chance to discuss first. So we have a couple then of discussion questions. So the first one is, what are your thoughts on the five steps that Jamie talked us through of leadership development? Do you feel this could help with releasing more leaders in your ministry, something that you could adopt? And then the second question is, how could you create space within your ministry to release people as leaders? What are those opportunities that you could release them into, and how, what would that look like if they did feel? What are some safe spaces that you could set up? Maybe it's not your main youth ministry night. Maybe you create a separate night, you know, which just gives some young leaders a chance to give things a go. What are those in your ministries? We'll give you, again, about 3 minutes to discuss that, and then we'll come back.
We're going to pull you back in. Hopefully that's been useful for you, and hopefully there's some stuff that you can take back home to your kids and youth ministry. We've literally got like 3-4 minutes. We wanted to get opportunity at this stage. If you had a question you wanted to ask to Julia or I, and we will attempt to answer. If it's your disagreement with everything we say, we won't answer that question. But if it's something you actually want to know, then we've got a question, we will answer it. So yeah, anybody got a question they would like to ask?
Would you explain what you mean about giving people a go outside of a main youth night?
Yeah. So I guess, some of the context of that is was it your first time preaching maybe too? And maybe Ethan's and stuff. Like, we ran a thing called, our youth ministry was called 412, and we ran a thing then, 412 after church, once a month, where it wasn't, you know, all 100 didn't come, but we did it in a smaller room and there was maybe 50 people. And it was intentionally created to give young leaders a go. So the main youth leaders and everything wouldn't preach, wouldn't do anything that night. It was a safe space intentionally created for young leaders to really lead it. Another thing we did at one point was we split our Friday nights once a month into first to fourth years were downstairs, and then sort of fifth year, I don't know the terminology in England, I'm so sorry, I don't know what it correlates to, but sort of then GCSE age and upwards were upstairs, and the downstairs space was for that sort of younger age group to have opportunities, where our youth band, which was usually the sort of 15 to 18 year olds, were upstairs, and we gave the like 12 to 14 year olds, made a youth band out of them and gave them a go in that as well. And so they were some ideas in the context, I guess, I was coming from with that.
Great. Thanks, Ryan. Anybody else got anything they'd like to ask? We've covered it so well, Julie. Oh, there you go. Come on, all right. It was good. Just here. All right, just here. Yeah.
Cool. Just on the, raising and releasing young people. How do I phrase this? Like, when you've got like loads of, like a big group of young people that you feel like, okay, these guys are on it, these guys could really take on some responsibility. Like, how do you kind of like manage that when it feels like there's more young people than you can kind of develop?
You've got kind of capacity for?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Good question. Have you got a response to that? Is that really your response? Yeah. It's good.
Church, so whether it's on the welcome team, serving teas and coffee,
yeah.
So it's making sure you're not just thinking youth ministry,
Yeah, and so I suppose then the responsibility then isn't all on your youth team, I suppose, is the hope. I mean, this is where, yeah, it's a good question, mate. I've never worked in a big enough church to know the problem of that. I think I would probably try and, personally, try and work as an individual with like one or two at a time, and then with your team as well, kind of almost commission them to work with one or two, and then, yeah, try and bring your wider church into the equation. I don't know if you've got anything to add.
Yeah, no, I guess like the long-term thing as well would be that as you raise your own leaders and you have that team of, you know, maybe, you know, 10 people who you know are, and then once those 10 people all meet with two people each and begin to disciple them, then you see that. And again, like, and how they serve, be creative and come up with, you know, different ways in which maybe it is splitting so that there's two venues on a night where double the people can get to serve and get to have a go, and you can really, or maybe it's, yeah, within small groups, within, you know, there's different ways. Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of people in here would have creative ideas, actually, if you wanted to pick some people's brains. But I think for you as a leader to develop the team, say it is 10, and then if they all did, like, you know, two young people each, and then carry on, is a good sort of long-term plan and system, I would say.
I hate to say it, I think you might have to use your list at this stage as well. Genuinely, like, I think you're gonna have to choose which ones you would invest in, and then hope that then that would do the leadership development where they can be into it. You know, it's a bit of a process, but yeah.
Go on, Mick. Yeah, I think it's a really comment on that as a senior leader of the church. I think there's a lot of church context where you'd spoken about sort of people being sort of in there for a time and the time period thing, and I think that's a general church thing that's a problem.
Yeah.
And I think it needs to be a general church culture change of you're only doing that role for a period of time. It's not forever and a day.
Sure.
And I think that's something that perhaps needs to be worked at a more, at the wider church level to then help the youth ministry and the kids ministries also develop that, that culture, that it can't just be done from a kids and youth perspective.
Yeah,
it's got to be a church-wide culture thing.
Between us, we'll sort the church out, won't we?
Yeah.
Honestly. Between us, I'm sure we've got the answers. I'm very conscious of time, so I think we'll have to call it there. But if you want to come and chat to Julia or I, please, we'll be here and we can hang around. Will you pray over us before we finish? Thank you, Julie.
Absolutely, yeah. Holy Spirit, yeah, we just want to invite you at this stage to help our hearts and our minds process all that you have been doing in discussion groups as we have been speaking, and just help us decipher what it is that you're leading us into, Holy Spirit. And God, we just thank you for every single youth and kids worker in this room who are pouring out their time and their lives to invest in the generations coming through. God, I pray that they would know in this moment that what they do is amazing, it is invaluable, it is making a difference for all eternity, God. And we just pray that as we come out of these few days, that you would help us to recruit, raise, and release within our ministries, God, whatever stage of that we are at, that we would begin to do this really well, so that there is life beyond us. As we have just been saying, we won't be in the roles forever, so that when our time is done, the next person's ready to step into that role and take it on, that this continues and continues and continues, that there is longevity that we are going for within our ministry, so that generation after generation may know your works and praise you, God. So would you help us, Holy Spirit? We want to be led by you. We want to be guided by you. We want to keep in step with what you are doing. So would you just speak and cement those things now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh man, thanks guys. Thanks for being with us.